Morning, brethren.
Morning.
Turn to Galatians chapter 3. I want to cover verses 14 through 19 with you this morning. Now, last Sunday, we saw that Christ, the Son of God, was made a curse for us. And what that means is he bore the penalty of our death in order to redeem us, to purchase us from that death, that penalty, that curse of the law. And this was done, Paul tells us in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So as I was looking at that, at this verse, verse 14, I was thinking, what is the blessing of Abraham? What is that blessing of Abraham? And second, what is the promise of the Spirit which believers receive through faith? Because if we have a right understanding of these two things, it's going to show us, it's going to help us see our need of grace. You'll see your need of the grace of God, that your ear should hear the salvation of God, which he has freely provided in his Son to save helpless, needy sinners who cannot save themselves. And we see this need against the backdrop of the covenant of the works of the law, whereby we see our corruption and our need of salvation by the salvation, the righteousness of God. Because the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Galatians 3:12. So we see our need of grace. I've titled this message, The Blessing of Abraham and God's Promise. So, the blessing of Abraham is that God justified Abraham, imputing righteousness to Abraham, who believed God's promise made to him. That's the blessing of Abraham. God justified him through faith. He believed God's promise that God would bless him, that God would give him an eternal inheritance. And so Galatians 3:6 confirms this. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So the blessing of Abraham, which has come to us through Jesus Christ, is the grace of God for sinners. And that's revealed in you. This is revealed in you, whom God has done this for, through faith, which he manifests in you by his glory and power through the Spirit, which he raised Jesus Christ, by which he raised Jesus Christ. Now, look over at Romans 4. Go to Romans 4, put a marker there, and don't leave Romans 4 too quickly. We'll be looking at a few verses back here in this area. Romans 4, verses 5 through 8. Paul says, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Just like what we read here in verse 3, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. And when God reveals to us what sinners, how corrupt we are, and shows us our need of grace, we too shall confess with David, Blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's a blessing. That God should not account sin to you and me, who have no righteousness, nothing to give to God, nothing to offer to Him to merit His favor to us. But what a blessing that God would be gracious, that God would bless us with righteousness, imputed righteousness, and not impute sin to us, but has put it away for us in His Son. So the blessing of Abraham is the Lord God imputing righteousness to him without works. Without works. And that's our God does that for us through Jesus Christ. Now, still in Romans 4, look down a little further in verse 23. Now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So this blessing of Abraham, this blessing of imputed righteousness without works, along with all of our spiritual blessings, are given to us in the covenant of grace. It's by grace that God is merciful to us and provides salvation for us, forgiving us of our sins, of our iniquities, and giving us the hope, the joy of eternal inheritance. And the reason why this is so sure and certain is that this covenant of grace was given into the hand of Jesus Christ, our mediator, that Christ has established that covenant of grace for us. And what that means is he accomplished everything that had to be accomplished. He obtained the promise for us, and he's the one now administering that grace to us. And he shall not fail. He shall not fail. He accomplished everything required that must be done in that covenant to make this covenant of grace effectual unto us. So that this covenant, you know, when there's a covenant, there's requirements for each party to uphold. And in the covenant of works, that requirement is put upon us. Those of us who would come to God in that covenant of the law, we have work to do. That responsibility falls on our shoulders. And if you don't do that, you are guilty. You come under the curse of the law. You come under that curse, and you have to pay that penalty. But this covenant is because of what Christ has done. This covenant is made unto us a will and a testament of Christ. And we, the beneficiaries of that work which he labored and what he did for us to obtain this promise of eternal life for us, he's the one who died. He's the one that rose again. And so Christ is the testator of his will, so that it's accomplished. Everything necessary is accomplished. He's obtained that which is given to us in this covenant of grace. He makes it known to us. He comes to us with power. All these spiritual blessings are given to us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the grace of God, which is given unto us by another. Over in Hebrews 9, why don't you turn there, Hebrews 9, let's look at verses 14 through 16. Here Paul is speaking to this very thing. He asks, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, that the Spirit of God would open our ear and show us the hope which is given to the saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show us that there's no hope for us in the law. And for this cause, verse 15, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, Christ purchased those sins which were ours. He purchased them, bringing them to himself, making himself responsible for that penalty, dying the death that we had owed unto God for our sins. He made it his debt, and he paid it. That they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So this promise, which was made to Abraham by God, which Paul says here in Galatians 3:14, he calls it the promise of the Spirit, which is received by us through faith, is the promise of this eternal inheritance spoken of here in Hebrews 9:15. This is the promise of eternal inheritance. This is the promise of the Spirit, which you and I, who are Christ's, have received by faith. And so this speaks to that life which Christ has promised to give all those who believe in him. Just as he said that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is that promise, to give you life by his Spirit in this covenant of free, sovereign grace, salvation accomplished by the work of Jesus Christ, by his faithfulness for you and me, needy sinners, guilty sinners, corrupt, defiled, ruined sinners in Adam. Christ did this to bring to you the hope of eternal inheritance in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this life which we receive, being born again by the Spirit of God in the new man, born by the Spirit, which we have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do now receive of him that spirit of adoption. He reveals to us our need. He gives us life in himself, manifesting that life through faith. And he promises, I give unto you the spirit of adoption. Look back at Romans 8. If you still have your placeholder there, go to Romans 8, verse 15, through the beginning of verse 17. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's testifying to you. In this walk of faith, God is testifying to you by this spirit of adoption, causing you to have no confidence in this flesh, but to have every confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out, Abba, Father, save me. Lord, strengthen me in the inner man by your Spirit. Grow me, Lord, in this grace, this faith, this love, this hope which you give to your saints. Lord, make me a partaker of that grace. Grow me in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is the Spirit which is given unto you, which is the down payment, the earnest of your inheritance, where God is testifying to you that, yes, you have obtained in the Lord Jesus Christ this eternal inheritance. Not looking within for some evidence, trusting by the revelation of the Spirit of God in you, which he has given to you, testifying that you are the sons and daughters of God, that your hope is in him, revealing faith and love and hope in you. And so this is the down payment of the promise given to us of eternal inheritance, which Paul wrote of in Hebrews 9:15. Now our Lord said it this way in John 14, verse 23. If a man love me, which is an evident outward manifestation of the love of God, which he has for you. Because we love him because he first loved us. So if a man love me, he's testifying. God, the Spirit of God is testifying you that he loves you. Because otherwise we don't love him. We're enemies of the true and living God by nature. But if a man love me, he will keep my words. It's testified to that we are eternally unified. We have an eternal union with Christ. We have a living, vital union with Jesus Christ. We have a manifestation of that union revealed in us by the grace of God through the giving of his Spirit, which has given us life and faith and hope in him. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will walk by faith, looking to me, trusting me, believing the promise which I've made to him, that I have obtained eternal life for him, that I have given him life and forgiven all his sins, put away all his trespasses, and he's righteous before me now. And my Father will love him. God revealing to you what he has done for you by grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you hear that same promise? The promise of the Spirit of adoption, which is given to the children of God, to make known to us that eternal inheritance which God has given to us. And so this is all made known and understood by the Spirit, which is given to us. Now, the covenant of the law was given after that promise was made to Abraham. The covenant of the law was given after the promise was made to Abraham. Now, the law was not given to replace that promise, nor was the law given as an add-on, an addendum to the promise, to improve it or change it in any way. Not at all. Why was the law given? Look at verse 19, Galatians 3, 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why was the law given? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, that mediator being Moses. So the law was added because of transgressions. In other words, the law shows us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The law, when we look at the law, it shows us the breadth, the width, the depth, the height of our corruption in Adam. It shows us just how defiled we are, how ruined we are, and shows us, sinner, you need grace. You need grace. You can't come to God in the law because we all come short of the glory of God through that law. None of us is perfect. None of us is righteous. None of us is good. None of us seeks after God. None of us keeps that law according to the perfection of God. We're all corrupt and ruined. And so the Spirit points to the law saying, look, you're a sinner and you need grace. And thanks be unto God who has given his Son, gave him up, spared him not, but delivered him up for us all to put away that sin and to give you this day a hope in Christ of that promise of eternal inheritance with Almighty, Holy, Perfect, Wonderful, Beautiful, Glorious God, all revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing that great need which we have, we behold the blessing of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That blessing which was made to Abraham, who believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. For righteousness. That law makes evident that we are corrupt, that we are spiritually dead in Adam. And it stood opposed to that eternal inheritance. The law said, wait a minute. You're defiled. You're ruined. You're not holy. You have no right to this eternal inheritance in God. That law stood opposed to us. That's why it was given to show us, wait a minute, you're not clean. You're filthy. You're defiled. You have no part in that eternal inheritance. And so Christ, being our surety, he came and paid the debt that we owed to that law. He put away that curse for us, being made a curse for us in our place. He was made a curse for us to put away that sin, to put away that opposition of the law stopping us and preventing us from coming, so that now we are set free. We're delivered from those chains. We're delivered from that bondage. We're delivered from the fear of death and judgment and condemnation before God, and set free that we might live in liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, having his Spirit, seeing and beholding what our God has done for us in grace, in mercy, and in compassion for Christ's sake. Not because we earned it, not because we did anything, but because Christ is so wonderful, so glorious, so faithful in what he did for us. And so in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul said it this way. Colossians 2, 13, he said, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," which is all exposed for us by the law, it's laid bare. Yep, I'm a sinner. I'm filthy. "Well, he hath quickened, given you life together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses," all your sins, all your trespasses, all your iniquities. He's pardoned them in Christ. "How so? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, which was blocking the way, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." He put it away on the cross. So Christ did that for us. Us, a chosen, elect people whom he redeemed, whom he reveals or manifests that he did this life for us by giving us faith and hope in him, by revealing love in us for Christ, who did this for us. "If a man love me, it's because God loved us first and revealed this in us." And so back in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, it confirms Christ hath redeemed us. He purchased us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, look down at verse 16, Galatians 3:16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So the promise here is the promises of God, which are made to us in the covenant of grace before, long before that law was ever given. Now, Paul's been showing that those who are of faith, these are the children of Abraham. Those who are of faith, they are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Look at Galatians 3, verse 7, 7 through 9. "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And in fact, Paul, again speaking of these same things in Romans 4, verse 16, he said it this way. Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Paul in Romans 4:16, he's speaking of a multitude, a multiple of seed there. So why does the Spirit highlight for us here in Galatians 3:16, and to thy seed, which is Christ, as though the promise was only to Abraham and to his seed, which is Christ? Why does the Spirit word it this way in Galatians 3:16? What our God is revealing to us is that Christ is our head. He is the mediator. God hath put everything into the hands of our mediator, who worked and accomplished this glorious salvation, these promises of spiritual life, the promise of the Spirit of adoption, revealing in us the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all revealed in Christ. He gave it all into the hands of Christ, who single-handedly accomplished everything necessary to accomplish that covenant, to put it into effect, to make it effectual, that promise effectual unto us. We're told in Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood, Christ entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's obtained that eternal inheritance through blood redemption, which he paid the price for, that we might have our inheritance with him, the glory of Christ, dwelling with him, fellowshipping with our God, who in grace and mercy saved us by grace in his Son. And so the Spirit tells us this joyful news in Galatians 3:17-18. He's showing that what Christ the head has accomplished applies to Christ's body, the church. We are the beneficiaries of what he's obtained. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so, brethren, we are beneficiaries of the will of our God, who's testifying to it, who's declaring to us what is done. The works are finished from before the foundation of the world. It's all accomplished. You that hope and believe on Christ have eternal inheritance with him. You have received the Spirit of adoption. You now cry out, Abba, Father, save me, keep me, reveal yourself to me more and more, Lord. I love you, Christ. That's what he reveals in us, that love which he's given to us and made known to us. And so he's declaring to his chosen seed that we are his through that seed of promise, which is Christ. He's showing us it's not according to our works. He's done it all through the eternal Spirit when he offered himself up unto the Father to put away our sin. Our Savior put away that ministration of death for us, which was contrary to us and against us, which we could not do. And he's given us eternal life, eternal inheritance in him. So rejoice in your God and Savior. Rejoice and be glad in him, because nothing can disannul that. Nothing can take it away. Christ hath obtained it. Believe him. Trust him. Rejoice in him. Give thanks unto God for him. And go and love one another, because you have an eternal inheritance in him. Amen.